The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today we're talking about a component of individual family health and community health that is absolutely critical. It's what's known as one of the social determinants of health, and that is stable housing and how that serves as a foundation for a family's well-being and a community integrity, in fact. And we're very fortunate to have with us today Kelsey Van Etten from Ulster County Habitat for Humanity, and they do great work in the community, and Kelsey's going to tell us all about it. Welcome, Kelsey.
Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Kelsey, tell us about Habitat for Humanity and Ulster Habitat, how it got started and what its core mission is.
Yeah, so Ulster Habitat, we are an affiliate of Habitat for Humanity International, located in Georgia. It was founded in the 1970s to create affordable housing essentially all over the world. And our affiliate really focuses on Ulster County and the needs of Ulster County, the housing rates and how crazy expensive it is around here to even get an apartment, let alone buy a home. And we're here to help those who might not have the chance to get a typical mortgage from a bank, own their own home.
Right. And one of the things about when a community prospers a little bit more and becomes more attractive to the outside world is the other side of that coin is the fact that housing does get more expensive. And we're in fact seeing that in Ulster County. I think over 50% of Ulster County residents are housing stressed, which is they're spending more than a third of their income on
housing. And
when
we survey our community, our population, one of the things that comes up with every survey is the concern about the relative lack of affordable housing.
Right. And when you think about it, stable housing, a stable home is the foundation upon which a family creates its life, right? Develop it. Every other aspect is contingent on having a stable sense of place that's healthy and safe and affordable.
The physical as well as an emotional, psychological standpoint.
Yeah. So, Kelsey, when you say Habitat creates affordable housing, what does that mean? How is that different, say, from, you know, government-sponsored affordable housing, or say what RUPCO does with creating income-qualified housing? What do you do specifically as an organization?
Right. So we, like many of these other organizations, we have an application process, and I receive the applications, and I'm the one who personally looks at every one of them. I evaluate each applicant and their family based on our three main criteria, which are income, because they will be getting a mortgage from a bank, so they do have to meet our income qualifications. Need for housing, which can be a whole scheme of things, anything from you're overcrowded to your house is structurally unsafe, or you're paying too much for rent. That's often what we find with the need for housing, and a willingness to partner with us. So we require that every single partner family that comes through our program does a certain amount of volunteer hours back to the organization, working on the home, learning how the home is built, how to take care of it, putting in their own efforts to create an area and a space that they can then call home. Our mortgages are also very unique. We work with local banks, and we do what's called a Sunnie Mae Habitat mortgage. Sunnie Mae is a state of New York mortgage association, and they their specific Habitat loan is a much lower interest rate. It's a 2% interest rate versus the 4 to 4.25% that you would get at a bank, and it's also tailored to their income. So I'm a qualified loan originator, so in the office I'm often coming up with numbers about their affordable housing. So 30%, like you mentioned, of income going towards housing is what's qualified as affordable. So I take that number, and based off that 30% of that family's individual income, I create a mortgage, including taxes and insurance, for them. So it's very unique to every person.
So it's geared, it's determined specifically about on that ratio of housing expenses to income. So does that mean that a higher income family that spends more on housing would also qualify, or is there like a threshold cutoff, or how does that work?
So we aim to serve people whose income is between 50 and 70% of the area median income. So for a family of four, 50% is about around $41,500 annually gross before taxes. So that's for a family of four, that's kind of the beginning. And then it goes up, I think, for a family of four, it's somewhere around $60,000 annually that we have to cut it off.
And do you partner with other housing-based agencies, or are you working kind of standalone? How does that work?
We work with REPCO quite often. We are definitely an organization that we work with however many organizations we can. We believe in community, so that's really important to us. So every partner family has to do the first-time home buyer training course online through REPCO. And then we often will work with REPCO to get them closing cost assistance so that they don't have to worry about that.
And what's covered in that course? Do you know that offhand?
I actually don't know that offhand. I've been meaning to take a look at it, but I haven't had the opportunity just yet.
So partner families, do they have to be an actual family of four, or what's the cutoff? I mean, can an individual, a single parent, and a child, or how does it work?
Yes, we use the term family very loosely. We've had single individuals apply, single moms, single dads, nuclear families. We don't discriminate based on number or how the family setup is. That's, again, it's a very loose term for us.
When you mentioned the mortgage before, what kind of down payment is required? I mean, that's one of the barriers that people often face, not being able to come up with the, enough disposable income to save for a down payment. That's what's happening with a lot of young people, in fact.
Yeah, no, most definitely. We look at their sweat equity as their down payment, essentially, so they don't have to come up with $20,000 or $10,000, because that's, like you mentioned, that's just way too much for that, for most people to save up. The mortgage that we use requires 1% down from the buyer. We usually are able to split that into two payments of $750. So when we sign the contract, once they're officially going to be in the program, they either write us a check or however they want to pay for $750. And then at the closing table, when the house is done and they're ready to move in, they pay another $750, and that usually covers that 1%.
Now, is Habitat focused on building new, smaller square footage, affordable houses, or taking an existing house or built structure and renovating, or both?
We have renovated in the past. We have been kind of having an issue with that lately, because everyone around here often wants to flip a house, and we definitely get the appeal, but that makes it hard for us. So we've been building new construction. We've been building three new homes in Glasgow, New York right now. They're adorable 3-bed, 2-bath split ranches. And they are as energy efficient as they could possibly be. I believe one of our last homes in Kingston was about 99% energy efficient.
Wow.
So, that's a really big help for our families, because we don't want them to be worried about lead or mold or asbestos.
And renovations energy. Always have surprises, right?
I mean,
unforeseen expenses that are hard to plan for. And do you get donations, like, say, from building supply companies, or do you get community volunteers that also participate?
Our build site is very heavily, our entire organization, we rely very heavily on our volunteers. We have wonderful volunteers in our ReStore on Route 28.
And I've seen that. I pass it every day.
Yes, it's a great store. And then we also have a lot of volunteers on our job site and on our build site who have been absolutely incredible. We do have a project manager who, he's he knows what he's doing and what to do next and all the right paperwork to fill out. And he kind of leads the volunteers, but we've had some with us for, I think, 6 houses now. So about essentially 5 or 6 years. And they've been really amazing for the organization.
Do they have to, do you look for specific skills, or can anybody come from like the novice to the skilled craftsperson?
Anybody who's interested in volunteering. We've had Verizon linemen, pharmacists, bankers, everyone. And, you know, if you just are willing to learn and put in the effort, then we are so happy to have you on site.
That's really great. And how does the organization get its funding? Does it come from private philanthropies? Does it come from government assistance? A combination?
We do get some government grants, the Affordable Housing Corporation. I always forget what the C is. They are very awesome, and we get grants from them, as well as from, you know, RUPCO with closing cost assistance. And aside from that, we have private donors from people in the community who just love us and want to help us out a little bit. And the Restore, also all of the proceeds from the Restore go to Ulster Habitat and Building Homes. So that's another great way for us to fundraise.
That's really great. Really great work. And, you know, I've heard so much about Habitat for Humanity over the years, but it's so great to learn about it and how it's affecting us locally. Right now, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care. Here,
technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
This is the sound of someone correctly installing a car seat. And this is the sound of someone incorrectly installing a car seat. Correctly? Incorrectly. Hear the difference? No? That's because installing a car seat incorrectly is terribly easy. So much so, 75% of adults install them wrong. For simple instructions on how to get it right, visit buckleupforlife.org. Ah, perfectly executed. Brought to you by Cohen Children's Medical Center.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Kelsey Van Etten, who is the Family Services Coordinator for the Ulster County Habitat for Humanity. Would you tell us a little bit more about where your office is physically located in Ulster County?
Yeah, so my office is attached to the Restore building. So that's 406 Route 28 in Kingston. We are right next to the Speedway gas station. And my office is just in the back of the building right there.
And when you talk about the Restore, my impression is that people will make donations, I guess, of furniture or other household items. How does that work?
Yeah, so you can give us a call, send us an email, or even we can you can drop it off that day if you have it. And our staff will evaluate it, make sure it's something that we take, and you donate to the store. And then again, we make sure if it's an appliance that it works, if it's a sofa or a chair that it's clean, then we put it on the floor and we sell it for a discounted rate.
Building materials also, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, we've got windows, doors, tile, sometimes grout. We've got a whole, we're selling paint now as well.
Sometimes people who maybe, you know, do a renovation may have
extras.
Otherwise,
oh, yeah.
You know, cabinetry or something that may actually be in good shape, but just not their particular decor or taste or whatever. So that certainly is a good place to consider taking those items to be reused.
I think all of us have a basement full of stuff.
Or an attic, as you know, a case.
When I moved into my new house years ago, I brought 9 truckloads worth of stuff, you know, to donate. And I thought, I'm not moving all of this to a new house, and now it's all back again.
Yeah.
So if people have something that they want to donate, but it's too big, you will send out possibly a truck? Right?
Yes. Yep. Our truck goes out, I believe, 3 to 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our store is open to the public Wednesday through Saturday. Our restore staff is there on Tuesdays as well, setting up the store, getting ready for the week, making sure everything is set and priced. And then they're out on the truck as much as they can be to pick up donations.
That's really great. And in terms of the, when you were talking about the application process, what is the timeline for someone to, a family to go through the application process and then you know, identifying the land and then building? What do those timelines look like?
Yeah, so we estimate about 9 to 18 months, which I know is a rather large gap, but, you know, it kind of depends how quickly everyone gets their sweat equity hours in, that willingness to partner, those volunteer hours.
They do that up front?
Once they sign the contract, yep. They mm-hmm. start there. They do half of their hours on site, and then the other half can be done in the restore at our events, or family and friends can help out too, to kind of ease the burden a little bit. We do require that they're there 2 days a month volunteering. But, you know, aside from that, it's really however quickly they're able to get their volunteer hours done and work with the bank and how quickly the banks move. Mm-hmm. That kind of determine, you know, of course, also when the house is built, because we're not going to sell them an unfinished property.
Right. And in terms of identifying the parcel of land, is that something that you folks purchase that up front and you have it available? Or do you have to go out and seek each parcel individually? Or?
So we, for the houses in Glasgow, we bought 2 together. And then I think very shortly after, we bought a third all in the same area. And mm-hmm. then we started building before we really had any families who had applied for those houses for the program. We're always keeping an eye out for open property that we can buy. Sometimes people donate land to us, mm-hmm. and we are forever thankful for those who do, especially if it's usable land for us. You know, sometimes we'll get maybe a donation of a 5-acre lot, and that we can't subdivide because of town zoning laws, and that's kind of unusable for us.
Yeah, that's too much. Too
we don't
expensive.
Want to, they're first time homeowners, and we don't want to put that on them. Our lots are usually around 1/4 acre or a city lot if we're in the mm-hmm. city of Kingston. But yeah, so we do get land donated, we buy land, we try to always be building. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you, going back to the income thresholds, mm-hmm. when you say a certain percentage of income that goes to housing expenses, is it just what you pay for a mortgage, or when you calculate living expenses, is it mortgage plus utilities plus all the other things that it takes to support that house? How does that formula go?
The 30% is just for the mortgage, mm-hmm. and the taxes and insurance. So we include all of that mm-hmm. in there. We get an estimate. We estimate the insurance. We estimate the taxes. When it comes to the utilities, like I mentioned, we try and make these houses as economically friendly as possible, mm-hmm. so that, because we know that that is a huge burden, so we try to keep those costs as low as possible for our families.
Right. And do you in terms of maintenance type of things, do you try to, in your designs, do you try to factor in, you know, the type of building that would be relatively low maintenance compared to others, like say with the type of siding you use or the, you know, those kinds of things?
You know, that's something that I am not 100% sure of. That's not really...
I only say that because I think of my own house, you know, which is cedar shake siding that has to be like stained like one side every year.
Yeah, I believe that we do try and keep it as simple and easy as possible for everyone.
When you talk about contributing time, hours, sweat equity, do you have any opportunities for people to, say, learn good painting skills or some basic carpentry skills? What kind of sweat equity are you really looking to have that potential homeowner give to the project?
They do everything and anything. You know, some days they are using power tools. We do have requirements where, you know, if they have children, if they're going to be on site, they have to be 18 or older if we're using power tools that day. But they'll use power tools, they'll use hammers, and then as the building process goes on, they'll paint. They'll, you know, we do have some electricians and heating and plumbing professionals come in, and same with the roofing, where we don't have volunteers go on the roof or anything like that.
Right.
But for the framing and a lot of the interior, they're very hands-on, and you know, as long as you have a willingness to learn, you can't go wrong.
And how great it is to participate in building your own home.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Talk about pride of ownership. You know, that's really, really critical. So, Kelsey, how do you recruit potential homeowners? Where do you look for them? How do you market
the
services?
And do you have a long waiting list of applicants?
Yeah, so I'm all over the community. I try and get out there once a week, if possible, to go and talk to different companies and organizations, and speak to their employees, not only for their clients, but for mostly for their employees. You know, a lot of nonprofits, we know that most nonprofits are usually within our income barriers, and doctor's offices, lawyer's offices. So I'm always out canvassing the area, trying to get as many homeowners as we can. And we hold events that we put out to the community. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram and a Twitter. And we're just always trying to kind of get out there and, you know, even just being here, being on the radio show, hoping to get some applicants. And we do not have a waiting list. I would love to have a waiting list, but, you know, we take applications year round, and we are actively searching for people to apply for our program.
Well, that's really good to know, because so many times I think people have a misconception that you have to go on huge waiting lists. I know for, you know, senior housing or even even with RUBCO, some of the, you know, some of the applications are, there's a long waiting list, but here is a fabulous program.
Absolutely,
I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. And folks out there should be aware of it and tell people they know about it, tell friends, tell coworkers, tell family
members. And ultimately, they're building equity in their own property, so that, you know, rent is expensive, and it's a one-way sort of route with rent. You don't get it back. But whereas if you have your own home and you, you know, upkeep, et cetera, you do what you need to, ultimately, it is a form of equity that you can get in the future if you need to move or relocate. You have something to sell, and then to start anew in a new location or whatever if you have to.
Yeah. And are your organizational goals such that you, there's some kind of performance measure on how many people you get into homes, or is it just that you want to do the best that you can, or do you work within a certain budget? Or
we are just trying to do the best we can. We recently went from building one house a year to two. So, you know, as long as we can keep that
keep
up,
going.
We would love to get to three houses a year.
Wow.
That's our goal, to just keep growing with it.
Well, what a great program, not only in Ulster County, but all over the country. I mean, Habitat for Humanity is really
Absolutely.
One of the shining
Thanks
stars out there.
Thanks to Jimmy and Rosalyn Carter.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelsey, and you and your colleagues for all the great work that you do. And tell us how folks get in touch with you.
Yeah. If you go to our website, there is all of our contact information. That's ulsterhabitat.org. My email's on there, familieservices@ulsterhabitat.org, or they can give me a call at 845-340-0907, extension 105.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Kelsey. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.